Welcome to Late Night Net Mums with me, Annie O'Leary, editor of Net Mums.
And me, Carol Jurgensen Sheets, a psychotherapist and certified sex addiction therapist.
Together, we answer your most asked sex and relationship questions from the Net Mums Forum. So, without further ado, shall we jump right into our first problem? Our user writes, I'm in a new relationship and everything is going perfectly. I've come from an abusive relationship, so I'm always feeling like I'm not good enough, even though my new partner always tells me he can't believe his luck that he's with me. We recently had sex and everything was amazing, but I couldn't switch off from the fact that I have wrinkly skin on my belly. He's the first person I've slept with after my ex, and I didn't realise how insecure I was until I was lying there naked with someone who looked absolutely perfect. He's made it clear that he finds me attractive and was very aroused, but I can't get the thoughts out of my head about how my body looks after having children. Has anyone else battled this before? How do you get over it? Do you have any advice on how to hide it or which positions are best? I'm seeing him again, and I don't want my insecurities to affect my performance. Now, Carol, I have many problems with this email. I don't like the word performance. And yeah, I don't like her asking about the positions either, because surely it should all be about feeling comfortable in the skin you're in, shouldn't it?
Yes. First of all, Annie, I want to know, why does the word performance bother you?
Okay. It infers to me that it's like acting or pretending. And that it's not about being real. And I would have thought, but I mean, what the hell do I know? You're the expert. That when you're having sex with someone, it should be about you being really real and honest and not pretending to be something that you're not or that you don't feel that you are. Is that right?
Well, absolutely. And that's what I thought. But I wanted to clarify, because I'm not sure she really feels that. She may just have used the word performance.
Yeah, it makes me nervous. It's a word people use a lot about sex, isn't it? And I just feel that in this very kind of sexualized world that we live in, with porn everywhere and everyone kind of looking a certain way in the media and in modeling ads and things, that everyone feels they have to live up to a certain ideal when that's not what sex should really be about at all.
Well, you sound like a sex expert, because you are absolutely right. And we need to take that kind of pressure off of us. You know, that's performance anxiety. And there's that word again. And you're worried that she may have performance anxiety, that she may need to perform in a certain way and certainly have that perfect body, which no woman has. And
yes,
many women strive for. So on a larger level, this has a lot of layers.
It does have a lot of layers. If she came to see you to talk about this, Carol, what would you say she should tackle first?
Well, I believe that she needs to really communicate with him her insecurities. Now, he's already said that he likes how she looks. He's okay with that. But at the same time, she needs to share why she feels so badly about it. If I were working with her, I would be saying, that body of yours, that beautiful body that has stretch marks, birthed babies. And that is what you need to focus on, that you're a woman. And when you're moving around, when you're having a sexual experience, you need to be all that. You need to be the woman. You need to be the mother. You need to be the partner. And you really need to get into the sensual experience of being together and get out of your head worrying about how you may look and what he may think.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. What you've just said, that's the tricky bit though. How do you get out of your head? How do you stop overthinking something in the moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would ask her to be more kinesthetic. I would ask her to focus on her body and how it feels next to his. I would ask her to experience what it feels like when his hands are caressing her body, her breasts, her tummy, whatever that is. And I would have her do something called sensate focus, which is enjoying and talking to herself about how warm his hands are, how soft they are, you know, where they are on her body, how good that feels. And when you experience that kinesthetic pleasure of sexuality, it takes you out of your mind.
Literally. I like that idea. So it's all about shifting focus from what you look like to what you're feeling. Yeah?
Exactly. It's called a kinesthetic response to sex.
I love it. Now, in terms of talking to him about it, she's clearly a bit shy because she's come and spoken to Netbumps about it rather than raising it with him. How, with a new partner, do you raise something like that if you are feeling a bit nervous and a bit like, oh?
Yeah. Well, I always ask people when they're talking about difficult subjects to use the sandwich approach. Mm. And that means that you sandwich the real thing you want to talk about with something that has to do with the other person. So that might look like, you know, I love being with you sexually and I feel like we are so good together. That's the top bun. And I need to tell you that I struggle with my belly and its wrinkles. And I want to please you and I want to feel good about myself. And I felt like I needed to tell you this so that you would know what's in my heart. And then you sandwich it with a bottom bun. And that would be, but I really am looking forward to working this problem and issue out with you because I think it's going to make us feel closer and we're going to be more connected because I've been so vulnerable with you. And for that, I thank you.
Okay. But ultimately, right, he's already told her he thinks she's gorgeous. The issue's in, it lies with her, doesn't it? How do you, if you're, okay, a mum, there will be a million and one people on the planet who are worried about their wrinkly tummy, by the way. This user is not alone. How do you start to like your body if it doesn't look exactly the way you want it to? What do you do about that?
Train the brain to focus on other things. What that means is you have to accept yourself for all your imperfections and know that you're human and be kind to yourself and have compassionate responses. And the truth of the matter is, Annie, that they have done much, much, much research on this. And men don't care if there's a wrinkled belly. Men don't care if there's some cellulite. Men don't care if you're not the perfect weight. If you are having fun with them and you're enjoying yourself, that's their number one concern. Not enjoying themselves, but pleasing you. And so she needs to figure out ways that she can find pleasure in his touch so that she can actually enjoy the experience more and also please him because he's pleasing her. That's no easy feat for somebody who's self-conscious, but it can be done by working on yourself.
What? But how do you do that? Where do you start? Are there any little tips or tricks that we can work into our everyday lives that would help us all feel that bit more confident when we're naked? I'm sure lots of us don't feel that great when we're analyzing our bodies. Go on then, tell us what to do.
Well, first of all, I don't know how many friends she has, but to bring these kinds of subjects up with your Netmum friends and talk about it and find out what they advise and how they get over that.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. That girlfriends are there for a reason, right?
Well, they certainly are, and they've been through it, and they may have worked through it, and so they can give you some good advice that you can then practice. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Two is, I said, she needs to focus on how sex feels to her. Remember, we called that sensate focus. So
yes.
She's going to have to shift from that, what is he thinking of me, to how can I enjoy the feeling of where I'm at right now? She needs to be in the moment. And when people are in the present, especially sexually, they are able to experience sex on a different level than staying in their head, worrying about the fact that they're not good enough. She needs to tell herself that she's beautiful, that it matters not that she has wrinkly skin. You know, she was talking about positions. That's the last thing I want her to worry about is what position she needs to be in to hide her belly.
Yeah.
You know, she probably needs to do just the opposite of that. You know, she needs to be on top, right in front of him, hugging and kissing and holding and loving him as they are making love and watching him watch her face. Open eye sex is one of the most sensual things you can do. And yet most people who are self-conscious want to have sex in the dark. So turn on the lights, or at least light some candles. Focus on your body and what feels pleasurable. Emphasize that. Talk to him with her body. You know, that means that her movements need to show him that she's really enjoying the actual act of sex. Uh-huh. And, you know, men are visual, but the second most important thing they enjoy is that they enjoy being told how pleasurable that experience is. So if you can talk to him as a partner and let him know what feels good and what's important to you, that will be so erotic. It will take both of their minds off of how she looks in the bedroom.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to go on there. I hope she is listening and I hope she finds it useful. There was one last thing I wanted to say, actually, Carol, about that. When you were answering the kind of the last question and you were saying, you know, you really need to focus on the things that are great about yourself, not just the things that aren't great. It's a bit like parenting, isn't it, really? We're so much nicer to our children than we are to ourselves. We'd never be horrible to our child for something they weren't very good at. We always are very good at emphasizing the positive, aren't we? And if they draw a picture and you can't tell what the hell it is, you always say, oh, the colors you used were gorgeous. Why are we so bad at being nice to ourselves?
Well, you know, what you just said is so important. When people, men or women, have difficulty with their confidence level, they need to use something called self-parenting. And that's when you're kind and gentle to yourself as you would be to your child that is growing up learning how to have self-confidence. And so, you know, he has told her that he likes her body. You know, he has absolutely shared that with her. She's not believing that. So the truth of the matter is she needs to start telling herself those positive things about her body. And that's hard to do when you don't believe it. But there is this philosophy. And now it doesn't mean faking orgasm, but it's called fake it till you make it.
Yes, I like this. I like the sound of this. I've heard of this before. Go on.
Well, fake it till you make it actually came from the addiction world. And it's when people didn't feel the confidence because they were newly sober to go through life and get the right job and find the right mate and build themselves up. And their sponsors would say, act as if, fake it till you make it. And acting as if is a very important coaching principle that says, you need to act as if you are a sensual, loving, caring person with a beautiful body and feel those feelings. And if you do that frequently enough, long enough, you will eventually find that all of a sudden you are that person. You're no longer faking it till you make it. You're no longer acting as if. It has become who you are. And so I would ask this blogger to look up that phrase, fake it till you make it, or the coaching concept, act as if, and see if she can't find ways to actually implement that philosophy in her lovemaking. It's not faking orgasms. It is believing in yourself enough to be able to maneuver through sex in a way that brings you great pleasure and satisfaction. And when you do, when you look for those opportunities to enjoy your sexual experience, they will grow. And that will build her sense of confidence. I wonder what kind of body confidence she had prior to having children. I wish she would have told us.
I know. My money's on that she probably didn't like something else before she had them. Do you know what I mean? Like if you decide you're not going to like yourself, you can probably draw up quite a long list of the things you don't like, can't you?
Yes.
And so what you need to do is turn that on its head, I guess, and find a list of the things that you do like about yourself, which I know is much harder.
Well, and there's a wonderful book on how to self-parent, which again is being kind and gentle and compassionate with yourself. And I suspect she could get that book and apply it specifically to her body confidence. Mm-hmm. And find that there are lots of techniques she can use to be able to rethink how she views and values her own body. And what I know to be true is that when you put this kind of work into it, it shows up and improves that sense of confidence. And then last but not least, you know, we can all increase our fitness regime and our sense of self. You know, I don't have the best body in the world, but I work out every day of my life. And that confidence from working out every day of my life overshadows the fact that I don't have the best body in the world, because I'm fit, I'm strong, I'm disciplined, and I'm determined. And when she works on feeling healthier, feeling more fit, it may actually allow her to appreciate her body for what it is and what it's given her.
Yeah, I think we should all be trying to appreciate strength above everything else, shouldn't we? Right, Carol, lots of good advice there. Thank you. Let's move on to our second question of this episode. So our user writes, I'm just looking for some advice, really. My boyfriend likes to watch porn. I don't have a problem with this, but the thing is, he sometimes watches it while we're having sex. This just makes me feel awkward. Like once I've climaxed, he'll stop playing with himself while watching porn and then get back on me and finish off. We have great sex, but he makes me feel inferior. I mean, I'm a real life person, not someone on a screen. Surely his attention should be on me. Okay, Carol, I don't like this. Sex shouldn't be about making anyone feel inferior or unsafe, should it?
No, not at all. Not at all. And unfortunately, pornography has done that. It's trained men to want sex a certain way, and it's trained women to be that person. And so this is going to require that the couple do some hard talking to see if they can't navigate their own sexuality in a way different way without any porn. And that means he may have to give something up that he has really, really learned to depend on.
That's what was kind of screaming quite loudly at me about this. It sounds like he kind of needs it, and that you shouldn't need porn, should you?
Well, unfortunately, when computers evolved and they really came into our households in about 1998, young boys learned to watch porn because it activated the brain and produced dopamine. And that was so pleasurable that it fused with sex and it became a very erotic tool for them. And of course, what we know is young boys, when they're exposed to something new, like sexuality, typically want more and more and more of that. So he has trained his brain to appreciate pornography, and he doesn't even know that it damages his ability to have sex with a real person and enjoy that too. And I suspect that's why the two of them are struggling right now about his porn viewing. What do you think, Annie?
Well, I'm confused. I need to ask you about this. I've clearly never been a young boy, so I don't get it. Surely a real person, a real woman, would trump a woman on a screen. I don't get why, faced with a real woman, he'd still want to see the thing on the screen. Can you explain that a bit?
Well, 100%. We are a complacent society. We typically like to do what's fastest and easiest. Uh-huh. And pornography has trained the brain to get aroused and have an orgasm. And so it's way easier to have that stimulation get you to the outcome of orgasm than it is to be with a woman and work on pleasing her, and work on pleasing yourself. Mm-hmm. And for that reason alone, for many men, porn is the natural choice. either instead of having sex with a woman, which we're seeing a lot more of that now, or really? In addition to, because obviously this couple has sex, but then he watches the porn and completes the act at the end.
So kind of porns can make people's brains a bit lazy, I guess, if they use it too much. Is that what we're saying?
Well, that's one of the things I'm saying, as well right. as porn creates a neurocircuitry that fuses with sex. And that means that sex is not as enjoyable if porn isn't a part of that. Now, oh, you word. Just said you don't understand why he wouldn't feel more excited about being with a real woman. And yeah. I said, it's because it's easier yeah. to fuse the two. Now, the truth of the matter is we are seeing college age males mm-hmm. who are unable to have sex with a woman. And Annie, not to be too graphic, but there are companies all over the world that are making stimulators that feel like a woman's vagina, that feel like breasts. And then they put on their goggles, they watch porn, they experience the porn with the feeling of these apparatuses, and that's how they have sex. I mean, there's
that's
a
sad.
Whole,
it's so sad.
Yeah, there's a whole dark world out there. And men are being exposed to this. You know, I work with sex addicts, and right. they're the greatest men in the world once they're in recovery. But prior to, sometimes more than sex, the eroticism and the pursuit is about what else is out there that I haven't seen. So they've trained their brains to look for the next new thing. And if you think about a relationship, mm-hmm. relationships can get stagnant. They can be dull. You know, you hear people all the time talking about vanilla sex. Nobody wants vanilla sex. And yet that oftentimes can become a part of the relationship. And part of the reason it feels so vanilla is because men and women alike have been exposed to a lot of things out there that they didn't even know existed.
So what place, if any, then, does porn have in a relationship? Should we not be looking at porn at all? Or is there a healthy way for it to be experienced? Clearly, I don't think what this guy is doing sounds very healthy, because it does sound like he's dependent on it.
I was brought up and trained to be porn neutral, which means that for many, many couples and for many, many men, that compulsivity does not develop. And so for him or her, if the compulsivity isn't there, porn in and of itself is not deemed as unhealthy or bad. That is how I was trained, and that is what I believed until I experienced the world of sex addiction, and I saw so many good men and women who got involved in looking at porn, and their brain couldn't stop. Their brain either couldn't stop because it became compulsive and medicated anxiety or depression or boredom or sadness or anger, or their brain couldn't stop because they had developed this neurocircuitry, this highway that craved more porn. Now, the truth of the matter is anything that becomes addictive is unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that there was no way people could look at porn and not objectify what they were watching. And so I have changed my thoughts and views on pornography, and I really don't think objectifying other men and women is a healthy choice in your life. So I am no longer porn neutral.
Interesting.
I absolutely understand why there are clinicians that are. But for me, I've seen the damage that it has caused, and I cannot and will not advocate for something that can go south so quickly and ruin lives and ruin sex lives and ruin self-esteem.
Yeah. Well, and hurt people by ruining relationships. Like, this relationship is in a bit of trouble now, isn't it?
Well, yes, because they're in a power struggle. you know, John Gottman, the family therapist and marital researcher, says when you have defensiveness or criticism or stonewalling or contempt in your relationship, you're headed for big problems. Mm-hmm. And in their sexuality, they're in a power struggle where he wants what he wants because it makes him feel good. Mm-hmm. And him feeling good makes her feel bad. Yes. And they're going to have a hard time negotiating that because truly, I don't think he's going to be willing to find other ways of sexual satisfaction with her. He's already taught himself that he needs both. And it's like giving up something that you're dependent on. I don't see anything in him that says, I'm going to change because it'll make us healthier or make you feel better. So they're in some trouble.
So how does she raise this with him? Communication obviously needs to happen here, doesn't it? Where does she start?
Well, there's two ways to really start with this. One is she needs to get more information about porn dependency. Mm-hmm. So that she knows how she can broach the subject with him and where they might go to get some help.
Okay.
But I've already said, I don't think he's motivated, Annie. And so in this situation, if he's not motivated to change, she either needs to accept it or she needs to move on.
Right.
And she probably needs to give it a time frame. Okay. If he's not willing to work with her on this, it shouldn't be about her getting her way,
yes,
but in her finding ways that she can feel better about their sexual relationship. And if he's not willing, too many women wait for years for the changes that never appear. And right. So I'm a big believer in give it a time limit. Maybe they decide that they're going to talk about it. And she says, you know, if a year from now, we are in the same sexual situation. He hasn't gone to the counselor. He hasn't read the articles I forwarded him on porn dependency. He's not willing to work on that. Then I will need to go and I'll need to appreciate all those things that he taught me in this relationship and recognize that sometimes people don't or won't change.
Okay, so in trying to get help in the first instance, and like you say, putting a good time limit on it, because that's important. We don't want her spending her whole life trying to fix this person. Where does she go for help? Where do they go for help? Or where does she send him for help? Who needs the help? Is it just him or is it both of them?
Well, I always ask my clients, who owns the problem? And Annie, who do you think owns the problem in this situation?
I would say it was him.
It was him?
Yeah.
No, Annie.
No, am I wrong? How can I be wrong though? It's him addicted to the porn.
No, he's totally comfortable with what's going on. He doesn't want to change.
Okay, so it's her.
Yes, she owns the problem. And so she's going to need to do the research. She's going to have to make some behavioral requests of him. Maybe she says, let's go to PornFab. Or FabU, which is a terminology for porn dependency and addiction. And they go to that website and they look at that together and they find out what are some of the detriments of looking at porn. If he still seems resistant, and that's what I suspect, he's not going to want to change because he doesn't own the problem. He likes his life the way it is.
Yes.
She's going to have to make some hard decisions. And, you know, it's always tough to break up, but I do believe that in this part of their life, their boyfriend and girlfriend, he's not the husband. You know, you don't need to settle if you're not married. Now, married people don't need to settle either, but typically married people have homes and kids and families and in-laws and all those things that she doesn't have right now.
Yeah.
So a clean break may be easier for her. But that's why she needs to set that time limit,
okay,
that deadline, if you will.
Okay, well, I hope he's listening too, because, yeah, he's got a bit of a shock coming. Thank you so much for all of your advice and wisdom and expertise today, Carol. You've been absolutely brilliant. Join us next time where we discuss more late night net mum sex and relationship problems. Thank you. That's all for this episode. Thanks for joining us. Remember, to get help and support from others like you on sex and relationship issues, please post in the Sex and Relationships board in the NetMums forum. To submit a question specifically for consideration on this podcast, head to the board marked Late Night NetMums in the NetMums forum. Everything said on this podcast is the opinion of the hosts and is for information and education purposes only. This podcast should not be considered as therapy or a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out expert guidance from a mental health or relationships professional to assist you with your own specific issues.